Hey everybody, before you get to your show, it's DJ and Bucky here with Move the Six to tell you what's coming up on our latest episode.
DJ and I are going to break down the top 50 list that we both are producing prior to the combine. Some interesting conversations about some of the top prospects.
Check it out. Move the Six podcast, NFL.com/podcast, iTunes, or YouTube.
The Around the NFL podcast knows what cosplay is.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes, Colleen Wolf, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys and
hey,
girl?
Dan.
Hi.
Colleen, thank you for coming in on short notice.
Look at this.
The picture of femininity in your pink zip-up hoodie.
It's a hot pink sweatshirt. What's the big deal?
Don't be weird, Dan.
I can't help it.
This is the second time you've talked about it.
I am who I am. Mark. Mark called in sick today. Big weekend for Mark, and not feeling too well after some Chinese food. I didn't think that's what we're working off right now.
Wow, I had no idea.
I don't think it has to. I mean, I don't know if it has to do with Chinese food. We got a couple emails late night that he was not feeling well.
So hopefully Mark gets better, and we see him because you know what? We need him to get better because this time tomorrow, we will be either in transit or in Indianapolis for the 2015. NFL Scouting Combine. Colleen, you are going as well, correct?
Yeah, I think we're all on the same flight.
How fun.
Yeah, Detroit.
Detroit, connect. What? It will be my first time ever in Detroit, actually.
Me too.
Does it count when it's a connecting flight?
I don't think it doesn't count.
So this will be, and as we said, the first time the entire Around the NFL team, the writing team that is, the four of us that typically do the show, and of course Kevin Patcher, our Chicago correspondent, and Connor Orr, our New Jersey correspondent. And speaking of Connor Orr, later today, going to get him on the phone. He's going to give us a little flavor of Indianapolis, former beat writer. So he's a lot of knowledge. He's kind of a renaissance man, as we know, Connor Orr. And he has a lot of knowledge of Indianapolis, which I learned last year. So we're going to have a little indie preview and also a major announcement.
Whoa.
Connor Orr, major announcement.
Whoa.
You thought Bill Simmons announcing the Ringer was big? Got to beat.
Can you say that?
I don't think so. Also on today's show, so Connor will be here. We will talk a little combine preview. So we're getting a little Indianapolis preview, but an actual scouting combine preview. Some storylines to watch. One of the fun things about this event is that we actually are part of the press conferences. We all, divvy up all the GMs and coaches, and we ask questions if we're feeling properly motivated, and we're involved. So we're going to talk about those press conferences because a lot of news comes out of the pressers, both at the podium and then on little Greg, as you know, the side areas where a lot of the gold is.
Oh yeah, little extra talk, like extra GM talk. You gotta angle. You gotta use your elbows. This is a good spot to be small, and I feel like I can fit through small crevices.
This would be big for you.
Yeah, Greg, you and I covered them last year here. We just
watched them.
They were live streamed.
Yeah,
and I found some old notes from there.
Let's get into that a little bit later.
Yeah.
Well, and that's why also Greg, whenever he's in Indiana, they call him Elbow Grease.
Ooh.
Oh, Elbow Grease. Which reminds me, actually, of a prominent New York columnist that I bumped into at the Combine last year, and he introduced me to a major ESPN insider as this is the funniest guy that you've never heard of in the industry. I was like, is that a compliment, or was that a shot?
That's awful.
Yeah.
It's definitely a backhanded – that's a definition of a backhanded compliment.
I think it was. So we got – yes, we're going to talk Combine.
Also, humble brag.
Also, yes, it covers all the bases. Talk to Connor. And, of course, as we do every show, we will do the news. And to do that, she is one of the best producers in the game right now. Certainly, I mean, when we're talking downstairs today about the Mount Rushmore of Weird Al Yankovic singles. When you talk about the Mount Rushmore of producers for Around the NFL, there is no doubt that Sydney is on Mount Rushmore.
Oh, thanks, Dan.
Well, Greg pausing as if
I know.
Not
I was.
Sure.
Just, I was.
No, I think that's damning with faint praise. She's number one.
Oh wow!
Sorry, everyone else.
That's very nice of you to say. I mean,
seriously,
a lot of people have worked hard behind the scenes over the years that we've been doing this pod, but Sydney absolutely has a place in that conversation.
Absolutely.
Feeling the love.
Let's do some news, Ed.
All right.
I'm really happy for you. I'm going to let you finish. But Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time.
Wes, do you have any, of course, it was Kanye West from his infamous Taylor Swift VMA situation a few years back. And maybe, Greg, we'll talk a little bit about the new Yeezy album. But I would like, Wes, to hear from you. I know you had some harsh words about Kanye. You've had some time to reflect. Have you changed your mind in the last few days after absorbing the new Pablo album?
No, I went and listened to that Ultra Beam Light Show or Saber thing, whatever it was called.
What?
I did not approve. Didn't do anything for me.
Okay. Colleen, are you a Kanye fan?
I like his music.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all you got to like. That's all you got to like.
That was what I said.
Like becoming a tragic figure, though.
All right. You're becoming a tragic figure. Let's start with some news that broke late last week. The St. Louis Rams have a lot of work to do as they move to Los Angeles, of course, and try to become a team that wins 9 or 10 games, for Christ's sake. But they made some big moves. They released Chris Long, pass rusher, James Laurinaitis, a linebacker, and tight end Jared Cook all on the same day. These are all prominent guys on their team. This was a Rams team, Greg, that has a lot of cap room. Even if they kept these guys, they were going to have some okay cap room. So you can't just say it was purely for salary reasons. This seems like a team that is looking to kind of remake the core and the face of it. That's how I read into that. Am I wrong?
Well, you have to take each one of these players separately. And I heard some people say, well, how are they going to replace these guys? From last year's team, it's not going to be hard. James Laurinaitis was one of the least effective inside linebackers in the league. That's just a guy who's getting paid like a solid starter who's not playing like it. Jared Cook, I went on this podcast and said many times, what does this guy have to do to get benched? Like, he was killing the Rams week after week, making big money. I mean, he disappointed Jeff Fisher in two cities. So that's two cuts I think that were pretty easy. At least Laurinaitis, it surprised me, but I think that's one that it was smart to do. Chris Long's a little different because when he's been healthy, he's a great player, but he was due $14 million. He hasn't been healthy for 2 years. He has 4 sacks over the last 2 years, and that's just not how the NFL works. You're going to get cut.
Yeah, I feel like they're sort of shedding their skin at this. Like, you know how, I don't know, what is that animal or insect?
Snake?
I guess, yeah, you shed it. You leave it behind.
Yes, a snake sheds its skin. Yes.
Right, okay. Well, I think there's some others, though, too. Whatever, Dan. Listen.
If I was just like turkey, you would have gone along with that.
Turkey. But humans do, too, actually. It's really gross if you ever do any research on
that. That's disgusting. Yeah, so now I'm completely thrown off. But, listen, maybe Chris Long will end up in Dallas. Who knows?
Is that where you – well, they do. They're going to need some pass rushers in Dallas.
Yeah, with
– some news a little later about a suspension, and I don't think Mr. Hardy's
going to – Greg Hardy, yeah, probably not. So I could see him maybe fitting in there. I mean, all of the –
Do you want to volunteer to do the Chris Long landing spots article?
Sure, I would absolutely do that.
Put the Cowboys number one. It's going to be a metrics goldmine.
Okay. Connie Fox is yet to do an Around the NFL post.
Maybe that's my first one.
That would be a weird way to start.
I think Laurinaitis lost his – place in that organization when they realized they could move a safety like Mark Barron to linebacker and he would make way more plays than Laurinaitis.
Yeah, I mean the Rams, they have a lot of room. They've got some talent. They're pretty much in the exact same situation they always are in. That's why I'm tired of talking about. Except they're here and they're going to be Chris Wesseling's new favorite team.
How about that?
The rest of us were tired of talking about the Rams earlier this year.
Well, I mistakenly decided to back them as a surprise playoff team, so I had to stick with that for a while.
How about that, Wes?
About the Rams becoming my team?
I mean, we say it in a cutesy way, like, oh, Wes will pick the Rams, but how serious is that? How realistic a possibility is it that after you retired from being a Bengals fan years later and now a football pundit for the NFL, you actually become a fan of the Rams?
It's probably not going to happen. I like their history in L.A. I'm very appreciative of that, but I don't think that you can – I don't know. I love the Bengals. That was my team. I don't think I can just jump into bed with another team.
Will you ever be a fan again?
Probably not of an NFL team.
That's sad.
There's something sad about this conversation.
Blame Mike Brown.
I think it could change. I think they're going to have to get rid of Jeff Fisher. They're going to have to change things. But the LA Rams, I think. The fact that Wes is even open opened the door already a little bit right off the bat, even well before they move into their new stadium. I think that's saying he's open for love. His heart is open right
this
now.
This is really on the NFL because the big factor is whether I ever make enough money to live in Los Angeles long term.
Whoa. Mm. Always bringing it back to that.
Wes, you're a man with one eye on the professional football world and the other eye on your bank account. And I
My bank account ceased to exist about 3 weeks ago.
You also have – that is Wes's now daily financial gripe. We got to get this sponsored. Greg, you're going to have to talk to
it's
Wes.
It's about me.
Well, clearly you didn't use Scott Trade enough.
I'm sorry to hear about Scott, by
the way. Scott Trade cannot do anything with someone who has $0 to his name.
So, yeah, maybe what Wes is – and we had a nice night out on Friday with Wes's new companion. Perhaps he's thinking about taking his –
What, do I have a midget in town?
His chill – I don't think that's the right word.
Short person.
Taking your own children to a football game, and maybe that's what you're thinking. Even without – it's not like it's kind of on a subconscious level.
She's tall,
hey,
by the
pa,
way.
Hey, Pa, can we go?
She's 5'6", but she was wearing heels. Mm. So she was the same size as me that night.
Moving on. Heath Miller played 11 seasons with the Pittsburgh Steelers and was blessed to play all 11 years with Ben Roethlisberger. They were a great team. Heath Miller was a nice receiving tight end. In fact, I think he's like number two in almost all relevant receiving records in the franchise's history, but also was a good blocker. You know, nice, what do they call those guys? Lunch pail type player. Stupid that they say that, but he was a lunch pail type guy. He's done.
You're the one saying it.
I'm saying people call a player like Heath Miller a real lunch pail guy, and he's gritty.
Why do you not
like
that?
It just kind of played out.
What do you think the new term should be?
Oh, he's got to put on his hard hat and go do an honest day's work. That's like, well, he's not as talented as the other
guys.
But it doesn't make sense for Heath Miller because Heath Miller is wildly talented.
Heath Miller is done. That's also what we need to know. He has announced his retirement. The Steelers made it official on Friday. And this is from Connor's write-up. Only 12 tight ends in league history with more than 6,000 receiving yards, and Miller is one of them. Only missed 8 games in his 11 years, and I was working a Saturday morning shift. Those are always fun in February. And you're digging for news, trying to find something. Found an interesting Ben Roethlisberger story in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette where he said that Heath Miller, guys, was his favorite teammate of all time. And all 11 years that he played with Heath Miller, he voted him as the team MVP every year. That's how much he thought of Heath Miller.
Wow. It's sad they're not going to be together anymore.
It's another item that the Steelers are going to have to shop for this offseason, a new tight end, because that's, like you said, if Ben Roethlisberger's voting him the MVP every year, that's pretty high praise.
What, you're not into Jesse James?
Jesse James. I kind of like him, but I don't know if he's ready to step into Heath Miller.
Are Steelers fans going to still yell Heath when any white guy catches the ball now even? Like, because Heath Miller was...
Well, if the guy's name is Heath.
Heath Miller was literally not active, right? Am I right about this? For the game against the Broncos, and they had fans in the crowd in Denver who had traveled... chanting Heath.
Oh, my God.
When Jesse James
caught the pass. I mean, they were doing that all the time in Pittsburgh when Jesse James would catch a pass, which, you know, was already annoying enough. But I believe Heath Miller was not even in the game, and he was getting the call.
Sometimes a player really connects with the fan base to the point where it's, like, sneaky annoying. And that would be probably the case with Heath Miller. Like, I mean, we don't need to be cheering Heath when the other tight end catches a ball when he's on the sideline.
Like the Packers fans cheering Kuhn when Aaron Ripkowski catches a pass?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Exactly. Miller, though, was a great player. I mean, he was a top five tight end for a good chunk of his career. I think in terms of, you know, the blocking, every down, he obviously was a leader. Smart guy, everything that you would want about him, tough, and he was a good receiver. People don't think of him as a receiver. He's getting 500 to 800, 900 yards a year at a time early in his career when not everyone was getting that. He was a top 5, 6, 7 overall receiver.
Yeah, only three people now on that team have 2 Super Bowl rings. Hmm.
He's going into the Ring of Honor. He's got 2 rings, been to 3 Super Bowls, but he's not a Hall of Famer.
No. Got a couple.
I just want, and that is not meant to denigrate Heath Miller's contributions to professional football. Just checking it. Heat check. Heath Miller, heat check. That's all.
He's always talked up as a good run blocker and blocking guy. Although he kind of came at the same time as Jason Witten, and has basically been outshined in a similar role by Jason Witten
as a lunch pail white.
I always call
I was going more like the blocking and receiving.
When I first started working here, and I would do segments with Heath Evans, I would constantly call him Heath Miller by accident, and we would have to break and start over again.
Mm-hmm. That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
You know who also should be embarrassed? Randy Gregory, guys.
Yeah.
Because the Dallas Cowboys, they used the second-round pick on Gregory last year. He had some issues with substance abuse in college, but they thought they could coach him up both on and off the field. But it blew up in their face a little bit last week. The NFL announced that Gregory has been suspended without pay for the first four games of the 2016 season for violating the NFL policy and program for substances of abuse. He can participate in all the offseason, preseason practices and games, but he's out for a quarter of the season. That's a long time in the NFL. It's not a long season, as we know, boys and girl. But a decent rookie year, right? But not something that blows you away. And now he's out the door, and you know, Greg Hardy probably out the door. All of a sudden, Dallas has an issue on their defensive line.
Wait, he's out the door? Randy Gregory?
Oh, excuse me, for four games.
Well, another failed test, though, and that'll be 10 games.
Right? And this is a guy who failed his test at the combine.
At the combine.
That's a bad sign.
He broke the story, I believe, admitting it to our Kimberly Jones last year. So that's a bad sign. When you fail a drug test at the combine, when you know this place is coming, it's basically a stupidity test. I mean, that's what a lot of people talk about. It's a stupidity or addiction test, if you want to call it that, that you know this is coming for months and months as the biggest job interview you're going to have, and that they're going to drug test at the combine, and you're not smart enough to just figure out how to pass these tests, which are, you know, apparently very easy to pass.
Rap Sheet reported that this suspension means Gregory has failed four tests now.
Right, because
Marone!
It's clearly an issue.
It's a problem.
It's definitely an addiction thing. And, I mean, you do look at guys, though, like Von Miller, who he had a problem in his past. And he goes from he's Super Bowl MVP. And I mean, if you look at what he was doing before the 2013 season, he was facing, I think, what, six games?
Yeah.
And it could have easily been more than that.
Greg, have some empathy. I can hear by your tone you don't care about Randy Gregory. He's got problems. That's his problem. You know, come on.
What are you talking about?
Am I wrong?
I'm saying the Cowboys took a risk when they signed him. He was the number 60 pick in the draft. They took a risk when they signed Greg Hardy. They take a lot of risks, and I don't think they're happy with the Hardy one. Stephen Jones came out and said, you know, he's not happy with Gregory. Time will tell if he turns out to be a good pick, though. He wasn't bad as a rookie when he played. He was solid.
I'm sorry, Greg.
Are you hinting or suggesting that the Cowboys might be open to changing their philosophy?
No, I don't think they ever do that.
They like the flash and the sizzle. In other news, the New York Jets, my favorite football team, are moving on from Antonio Cromartie. After 1 year, this was, of course, Cromartie's return engagement in New York. He previously had some nice seasons under Rex Ryan. They brought him back. Of course, as we know, they brought back Darrell Revis as well. It was supposed to be the tag team back and locking down wide receivers, but it didn't quite work out that way. We know that Revis had some problems this past year, but still was very good on balance. But Antonio Cromartie was clearly a guy in decline, especially early on. He finished a little better, but he had some really rough moments in the first 8 to 10 games, I'd say. And the decision was made with his 32nd birthday on the way to move on. It saves him $8 million in salary cap space, no dead money. So Big Mac knew what he was doing here. Essentially, it was a four-year, 32. This is why contracts, we should keep in mind how silly they are in the NFL. Signed a four-year, $32 million contract 12 months ago. It really was a one-year, $7 million deal. Cromartie gone.
And they have so much depth there, too. So, I mean, they have Revis. They have Buster Skrine, who ended up being a really good player.
I mean, I wouldn't say they have a ton of depth, but they're okay.
They're not like the Eagles.
Yeah.
Marcus Williams was pretty good, wasn't he?
He was very good, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, between the three them, that's a better top three cornerbacks than 20 teams out there.
Did you say D. Milner?
D.
Milner is going to make that contribution sooner rather than later, Greg.
Please.
Making the leap. Yeah. Greg and I were debating whether Antonio Cromartie will even be on our top 101 free agents list. Mm. 32 years old, got burnt way too much last year, and has never been a good tackler.
Well, and has never been consistent. Dominique Rodgers Cromartie has been a little like this, too. Antonio Cromartie has had huge ups and downs in his career. He is either a huge liability or he's a really good player. It seems like there's very little in between. And I got to give credit, and I was thinking about it because I tweeted about that too, about Mike Maccagnan. Mike Maccagnan's so smart, everyone's giving him credit for signing such a smart contract that there's no dead money on the deal this year. He's getting credit for a terrible signing. That's when you know he's a good GM.
Yeah.
And everyone's, because I sent the tweet out too. I was like, oh, that was a good job by them. They avoided any pain. Well, it was a terrible signing.
Well, this is what I'll say.
He hurt them. Well, maybe if they spent an $8 million better, they make the playoffs.
He was not good. I don't want to call him an outright disaster because he did still start 16 games. And he was, I think he'll catch on somewhere. But you're right about it. He's not a tackler. And he was a guy. He's a big, lanky guy whose game is built on speed, and now he's losing a little speed. I could see him slipping off that 101. But if Mike Vick's on there at 101, guys, we got to get.
Wow,
that was
really?
Last year.
Oh,
we need a new Vic.
Well, we thought we came up with one. I thought we've got some. There's some negotiations. We like to put one guy at the end that just stays, despite it not making any sense. Stays at 101, and just because it's a nice name, and you just like them there as anchor. I think Percy Harvin is an option this year.
Oh.
Wow, what a stunning fall. He was almost on Wes's top 20 wide receivers like 3 months ago.
Well, times have changed. It was more than three months ago. Whenever you liked Percy Harvin, that would have been a year ago, right?
No, I included him on honorable mention. He started out, it's easy to forget, but he had a really good September and early October this last year for the Bills.
We're off the tracks a little bit, but I do want to say I'm very excited about the scientists, Wes and Greg, going into the lab and coming out with the top 101 free agents. First one coming up later this week. Greg is actually looks like a guy losing sleep over it because there's so many little permutations and outside factors that make you worried that the initial list is going to be crappy. But don't get too caught up in that. We all get that.
Well, you know, when you're trying to evaluate whether to rank Brandon Brooks or I don't know.
J.R. Sweezy.
J.R. Sweezy.
J.R. Sweezy is one of my favorites.
Which one ranks higher at guard, Greg?
Yeah, that's like, come on. And then there's going to be a lot of, as we talked about last week, there's probably going to be about 20 guys that get cut that'll wind up being on this list that are still.
You need music for this exercise, by the way.
Yeah, we do. We should work on that. By the way, I also like, because you guys are
scientists. It's coming out Wednesday, by the way. Wednesday. First edition.
Because you guys are so thorough, you're completists, you're going to have like a second tier guard like at number 71, and that's when I get really excited. It's like, wow, these guys know a lot about football. It's a compliment.
Man, falling apart.
It brought the room to a halt. You're trying to hand out a compliment, and the whole thing goes up in flames. Moving on. Malcolm Jenkins. The Eagles have signed the safety to a new five-year deal that includes a four-year extension. Rap Sheet reports it is worth $35 million with $21 million in guarantees. The new deal is worth $40.5 million, keeps him under contract through the 2020 season. He was poised to enter the final year of a three-year deal. He's been in Philly the last 2 years, started his career in New Orleans, a Pro Bowl selection, Chris Wesley, in 2015. Is this the type of guy that you build a defense around?
Sure, Dan. Yes. He's a nucleus player, and Howie Roseman has been signing nucleus players since he took his job back from Chip Kelly. They signed Lane Johnson, Zach Ertz, Vinny Curry, and I think Fletcher Cox will be the next one. But Malcolm Jenkins, I think, has emerged as one of the best safeties in the NFL, and I thought last year you could make a strong argument that he and Walter Thurman were the best safety tandem in the NFL.
Mm.
Yeah, he was good in his first year in Philly, but I thought he really was great last year. He led the team in tackles each of the last 2 years. And, I mean, when you look at what Howie Roseman did with him, when you see the guys that were on the market and everybody was talking about before they signed Malcolm Jenkins, and we mentioned it before, Jarris Byrd, that was the big...
Wait, who is that?
Jairus Byrd. Jairus Byrd.
Just that guy. By the way,
that worked out so well, though, for the Eagles. That usually never happens.
Right, Eagles fans were upset at the time. I believe Jimmy Kemsky sent it out.
Kemsky.
People were furious because Jairus Byrd was the guy everyone wanted.
Yeah.
And Malcolm.
Jairus Byrd.
I know it's coming.
Byrd.
And Jenkins was a guy who was okay. You know, he had some good years in New Orleans, some down years, and now he's kind of found his home. I thought he was one of the best, three or four safeties in the NFL last year. I would maybe.
That's fair.
I want to say also, because we've used that drop dozens of times in the past 2 years, I'd say Did a little research on YouTube that comes from a user named Run for the Cube. And while, you know, doing that research, came across some others that were fun. So let's just listen to a couple. Sydney, what do we got?
Joey Kiwi Beal. Joey Kiwi Beal.
All right, Colleen.
We found that one last week when Joyke Bell got released.
Whoa.
Well, I was going to quiz Colleen on it. Oh. Would you have known that?
No.
Oh, okay. Let's try another one. Let's quiz Colleen.
Okay.
Lukey Kuichlai. Lukey Kuichlai.
Oh, my God. I have no idea.
Really?
One more time. One more time. Try to sound it out.
Lukey Kuichlai. Lukey Kuichlai.
No, I don't. Who is that?
The answer is Luke Kuechly.
No! There's no way I would have gotten that.
Do we have one more, Sydney?
Yeah, we got one more.
Okay.
Bean Roidlice Beer Gear. Bean. Roidlice Beer Gear.
You know that.
No.
Wow, you're so bad at this. One more time.
Bean Roidlice Beer Gear. Bean. Roidlice Beer Gear.
Come on, you're a college graduate.
I don't know. What the heck is he saying?
Greg.
Bean Roidlice Beer Gear.
Oh, we got it.
Bean Roidlice Beer Gear.
Oh, Ben Roethlisberger?
Ah. Oh.
Yay! Oh, all right.
Wow.
Sydney gave you an extra reprieve there. It all worked out in the end. So Malcolm Jenkins, New Deal, and Run for the Cube. Check it. He literally, this person, I don't know who it is. He's a crazy person,
he's
obviously.
A genius.
There's thousands of these, and it spans not just the NFL, but all across the
hockey.
Pop culture spectrum. It's
right,
insane.
And it's deep on the roster. That's what I liked, is we saw Isaac Redman and Jeff Backus. I mean, he does all 53 men for some reason.
Finally in the news, the most important sports franchise in the United States and the world, the New York Yankees. Spring training is here, Greg. What? Why are you making that face?
Well, that little preface that you said just was like oral vomit. Oral?
Okay. The New York Yankees, spring training's here. Pitchers and catchers have reported. I wish Mark was here for this because he hates baseball so much. But the Yankees are playing a video for their players, basically a training video, a tutorial video, trying to
indoctrination video.
You know, when you play in New York under that bright spotlight like Philadelphia, Colleen.
Oh yeah.
The tabloids are always nipping at your heels, trying to turn little things into huge things. So the Yankees are teaching their players that the NFL quarterback you want to be is Russell Wilson, not Cam Newton. So they've been playing clips of how Cam Newton reacted after, of course, Super Bowl 50, and then contrasted that with how Russell Wilson comported himself after his interception that clinched Super Bowl 49 for the Patriots. So Andrew Marchman at ESPN brought this to light. I believe this is brilliant.
Oh, my God.
Strategy by the Bronx Bombers, the type of thing that shows you why this organization has been the most successful in North America ever. Wes, your thoughts?
This is an affront to fans anywhere. This is an affront to anyone who likes interesting human beings.
God.
They're brainwashing their players.
Why can't they just be themselves? How about that?
Everybody be like Russell Wilson, who's the most boring interview in sports.
Be like somebody else. Great. Good job, everyone.
It is a very Yankees thing. I mean, I'm a Yankees fan, obviously, but that is the most Yankees thing ever, to be like Russell Wilson.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, Dan, here's the question. Why are they preparing their players to lose?
Exactly. That's what I was thinking.
They're saying,
how you need to act when you lose, as if that's going to happen a lot.
Hey, here's what you need to do at the biggest moment of your career. Make the worst possible play you could make and have it in your mind for the rest of your life. That's what being like Russell Wilson is.
Can I read a quote from the greatest showman in baseball history, Bill Veeck?
Go ahead.
1966, this came out. Wow. Prefaces the whole robotic era with Peyton Manning never saying anything interesting in an interview and Russell Wilson doing it. What we have are good gray ball players playing a good gray game and reading the good gray Wall Street Journal. They have been brainwashed, dry cleaned, and dehydrated. They have been homogenized, orientated, and indoctrinated. Their mouths have been washed out, their appetites stunted, their personalities bleached. They say all the right things at all the right times, which means that they say nothing. Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
That's Russell Wilson.
That's fair. Very fair, Wes. And again, Sid, MVP.
Wow.
A reminder that the Dean Scream is back in 2016. a lot of pop on Twitter immediately after Thursday's podcast. People getting on board. Somebody even sent me a graphic, a Google Trend alert, and Dean Scream shooting upward like multiple percentage points in society.
Dan has talked about this many times since the podcast, just talking about all the Twitter buzz on it. Just like it's a revolution.
I know, like, winning
did
not take off the way I wanted it to. The slow rollout hurt me. Charlie being infected with the virus that causes AIDS, obviously.
That was a year later.
Wow.
That was almost a year later.
But I'll be the first to admit that on Twitter I didn't get a lot of pop when I made multiple, you know, pronouncements. This is different. The Dean Scream is all over the place.
Have you done it in the newsroom yet?
Not yet, but that's a good point. I will soon.
You know who was, you know, if he was more like one of those two quarterbacks, to me, he's more Cam Newton, Dean Scream, Howard Dean, than Russell Wilson. He's letting his freak flag fly. He's just himself.
By the way, Vegas, a little close off the baseball talk here. Vegas has both the Yankees and Red Sox 86.5 wins. Want to get a little wager going? We had one last year.
Well, we can do that off the air.
Yeah, you can.
Sandwich? We're not allowed to do that.
Yeah, you're right. All right. That's what's happening in the news. Real quick, Greg, I do have The Life of Pablo now, the new Kanye album.
Oh, yeah.
I am a big fan of it. I like this song.
That's just the wave.
Waves.
I'm with you.
Ooh.
I'm with you 100%. Big fan of the album, and this is one of my favorite songs. I almost want another verse from him on this.
Wes, you have
it hits hard.
Have you now come around having heard that clip of Waves?
I would actually check out this album if there was any way to get it.
I can get it to you, buddy.
Oh, okay.
I got it.
What does that mean?
I'm not going to get in trouble here.
Yeah, we went through and you were ranking the previous Kanye albums. And this one on first, you know, weekend of listening, you know, it's right there. It's right there in the mix with all the great ones.
Yeah, I got to give it more time, but it's definitely promising. All right, now moving on. The Combine, we're leaving for it tomorrow, of course. So we are going to be, by Wednesday, we will be in the middle of it, you know, sitting in that room. It's not a very big room. So it's like you're kind of, especially where we're seated, if we're in the seat in the same spot, you turn around and all of a sudden there's, you know, Les Snead standing over you and you're in the middle of it all. So it's kind of a cool scene. I like it a lot, having gone to it for the first time last year. Colleen, while we're here, can you share some of your notes? Found some notes from last year's.
So I found some notes.
Oh, my God. Look at those things. Scribbled like a madwoman.
Yeah. So a couple of things here. Jim Tom Sula, he's really excited to work with the prolific running back that is Frank Gore. That was from last year.
This is good because keep all of this in mind, how much things can change from February to September.
For Tom Telesco, Chargers GM, I have written down, who is the real Dontrell Inman?
I want to ask, who is Dontrell Inman?
Jay Gruden, you guys remember this, when he talked about RG3 being the starter.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Dennis Hickey, Dolphins GM.
He took
Wallace out to a steak dinner. So they were
Mike
trying
Wallace?
To work things out. Mike Wallace as well.
Ended up in Minnesota, of course.
And finally, Lovie Smith believes Mike Glennon can be the quarterback going forward.
Basically just light these all on fire and scatter them to the wind.
That's great that you found that because we need to keep that in mind this week when we're at Indianapolis at the Combine. And the weather, by the way, the coldest I've ever been in my life. And I grew up in New York, went to school in Boston. Nothing in my life, Greg, was like the New England, like when it's really cold and the wind whips in. I always thought that was the coldest you could be. And then I went to Indianapolis late in February, and it was -15 with the wind chill for the entire week. I'll never forget how cold that was. I thought I was going to die.
And it's supposed to be a little nicer this year.
Yeah, it's going to be in the 30s and 40s from what I understand. But all right, so let's do a little exercise here, keeping in mind what Colleen said.
Okay.
Why don't we go around the room and talk about maybe a storyline that we – or do we want to try to like predict a storyline here or something? Some type of a prediction of what will be a storyline like Colleen just pulled out, whether it comes
something
to fruition or not.
I don't want to give away, though, who I'm going to be drafting, you know, in the coach and general manager press conference.
You want to describe that?
Well, I think we did it more casually. Last year was really formalized. I was not there. I was coming off paternity leave.
And oh, right, from here.
And basically, we're going to hold the draft. When we get there Tuesday night, we'll all meet up, and we will draft who gets to cover which press conference.
Ooh.
So every coach and general manager that speaks is on the table, and you make your choice. And a lot of strategy.
And the goal with that is you want to – if you're going to be sitting there and writing something up, you want to have a storyline. You want something juicy. So that's why, and Greg's saying, he doesn't want to give away his picks.
Is it more about the storylines, or is it more about the personality of the coach or GM? Because I feel like Bruce Arians has to be the
all
consensus.
All of that goes into play.
Arians has to be consensus number one favorite, right?
Well, I think Gettleman.
First overall.
Gettleman's great.
Is a good pick because I think there's a lot of news there with
Chip Kelly.
With the Panthers. Chip Kelly could be interesting. You also could go another route. I could see a Mark Sessler having a different type of strategy. Maybe go
the wild card.
Go for Mularkey and John Robinson as two of your picks of the Titans, and just try to stay away from doing any, you know, from writing
any work.
Yeah, because they're not going to say anything. That's nothing. He's like, should we do it? There's nothing posted.
I'll share one fear with you guys. I'll share one fear is that I like to, even though of course my number one, like as a fan, is I want to talk to, you know, both Mike Maccagnan and Todd Bowles. But I'd like to maybe drop and try to steal it in the middle rounds. Can't trust with Connor Orr in the mix. So I might have to overdraft the Jets just to make sure I get him. It's all strategy, and it's going to play out in
Oh, yeah, I would definitely
hours.
Take McCagan.
Well, Sessler's going for Hugh
you.
Jackson first. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to have to blow his first pick on Hugh Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah,
definitely. So let's have some fun with this. And, Greg, why don't we start with you. Something you can kind of look into the crystal ball and see coming out of this week, because that's what Combine's about. Everybody talks about, you know, your old boss calls it the Underwear Olympics. Brilliant. But, you know, everybody talks about those events down in the field at Lucas Oil Stadium, but the real fun is at the podium.
That's right. Wednesday and Thursday will really be the days that we're cranking the most. I want to ask John Elway if he's confident DeMarcus Ware is going to be on the team next year. Because I think that could get an interesting answer. I think there's a chance DeMarcus Ware is going to have to take a pay cut to stay. From what we're reading, Jeff Legwald of ESPN NFL Nation said that. And the last time the team said that to DeMarcus Ware, he said, "See ya." That was in Dallas a couple years ago. And I think he's a proud guy who's coming off a good season. That could be very tricky. There is a lot going on with the Broncos, and Elway is good with the media. He'll drop some bombs. He's not afraid to say what he thinks. Ryan Clady is a situation that's up in the air. Peyton Manning, of course, and then they've got some big-time free agents too.
That's a high draft pick right there, John Elway, because if you're looking – and you, Wes, you look personality-based. I look at it as that is a fun thing, but also just the news end of it, a lot of stuff with the Broncos. But that would be – I know football's a business, but it would be kind of dirty pool to me if – he has one of the most, and Von Miller got MVP, but DeMarcus Ware was dominant in the Super Bowl and had another nice season. Why are you going to the guy and say, take less money to stay here? I hate that.
I agree. That's why I sort of wish I had put him on my surprise potential cuts list, because I did not. I did not think they would consider that.
Yeah, because they already paid Derek Wolfe.
You would think that, you know, they're looking for money. I mean, Brock Osweiler's out there. I mean, I'm looking to see how does Elway answer these Brock Osweiler questions. Do we start hearing reports during that week that they've started contract negotiations? Because this whole out of respect for Peyton Manning thing's nice and all, but they got to cut him by March 8th, and they got to have a new deal worked out with Brock Osweiler by March 8th, or they're going to have to – I don't know what they're going to do. They got to risk him leaving.
Chris Wessling, what are you looking at?
I think this week in particular, we've been through a month and a half of word around the campfire and, you know, just basically scuttlebutt. This is a chance to hear, like, Chip Kelly, is he going to tell us what his plans are for Colin Kaepernick? Is he going to tell us, is Colin Kaepernick in the plans, or is it Blaine Gabbert? I don't think we've gotten any answers out of him. It's just been people kind of reports floating around, does he or does he not like Kaepernick?
And depending on how vague he is answering those questions, I mean, one follow-up, you know, I would have would be like, well, what if Colin Kaepernick doesn't want to play for the 49ers? Because I think that's a question that's up in the air right now from what we're reading from your boy Manish. And just if Colin Kaepernick's side, and I think money is a big part in this, are they ready to pay him $14, $15 million a year? I don't know.
Yeah, and Chip doesn't care, clearly, based on what happened in Philly. I mean, he'll let players go. He'll trade them away. There's really no allegiance to anything or anyone with him.
Wolf, you got something?
Yeah. How about well, first I want to know if the Panthers are going to tag Josh Norman, and also I'm sure we'll finally get to talk to the Bears about whether or not they'll tag Alshon Jeffrey. But also I want to know what Tennessee is going to do with that first pick, if they're going to shop it around, if they're going to, I know obviously we're going to be talking about that a lot, but if they're going to do Jeremy Tunsil, if they're going to go with somebody to help protect Mariota, or if they're going to go with somebody like Miles Jack, a linebacker, I don't know. But I think that's always interesting. I mean, once again, Tennessee is at the top of our list in combine draft.
Isn't he a Laramie?
Laramie. Yes.
The Titans are the number one pick, yeah. It's a little bit boring. And if they take a tackle, that makes a lot of sense. But, of course, the Titans, what is it, exotic smash mouth?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Is that what we're looking to run this year? I guess you do need some stud linemen to be exotic while you smash mouth. I don't
quite understand this Laramie Tunsil buzz to the Titans. Didn't they spend a second-round pick on a tackle last year and a first-round pick on a tackle the year before?
Right. I don't get that either, but this combo, Malarkey Robinson, we're going to have to see if it gets people pining for the days of Ken Wisenhunt, Rustin Webster back-to-back, because that was a half hour that always put – it was like, okay, cool, we can start working on our other stuff, those two back-to-back. There was the old Munchak, and who was the Titans GM back then? I don't know.
I just like that guy with the great white Colonel mustache.
Yeah.
Oh.
I love that guy.
I know.
Steve Underwood. He's the team president.
Right? Yeah.
You make a good point there, Greg. Like, who's the number one guys? Let's work up our copy team right now where you can completely check out on the press conference, because there's no chance that anything interesting happens.
Well, the Titans now, I guess, aren't that team, though.
Yeah, you got to be
the one pick. You
got to
be plugged in.
I'll throw one out there. How about this? The San Diego Chargers.
Oh, that's a sneaky one.
Yeah.
Let's do some work, guys. Let's get back to our little laptops and crank.
No, there's going to be questions still about them moving and things like that, I think, too.
You want to handle that?
No.
First around the NFL post?
Nope.
You know, I'm looking forward to, as I really got a kick out of it last year, Les Snead comes up. And, you know, let's be honest, he comes up. His hair is awesome. He's a handsome guy. He's better dressed than any of the other GMs. And the spin doctor goes to work. And then Jeff Fisher comes up. And Fisher, everybody loves Jeff. And he's got a plan. And he's got the goatee. And by the time they both step off the podium, everybody's running back to the laptops to start typing about how the Rams have something cooking. They got a plan in place. You know, those big cuts, you know, Long, Laurinaitis, and Cook. Nice moves. Watch out for the Rams this year. They're going to start sucking people in. And it starts at the combine, baby.
We're seeing a window into Dan's soul. He knows he's powerless once he's in the room with Les Snead's hair, and he's almost putting this out there ahead of time to be like, save me, guys.
Save me.
It's not logical, but I can't help the feelings I have.
That's a hair respects hair.
And hair respects hair.
Snead is a comet, absolute comet. But we also know these guys have been pulling this act for years upon years now. And
it never gets old,
ever
apparently.
Changes. But what they will do, and you'll enjoy it when you're there, they will speak confidently and they will appear to have a plan.
Whether but you don't think there is a plan.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain or the fact that they have no quarterback.
Anything else? Anybody else have anything they want to throw out there before we move on?
Their plan is 1980s football. That's their plan.
Oh, yeah. Exotic smash mouth.
I got a little juiced up. Rich Cimini, who's the ESPN Jets beat writer and a guy I respect a lot, connected Matt Forte to the Jets. And I know a lot of people are connecting the Patriots to Forte. But I think there's a lot of teams that are going to be interested in that guy. I want to see if there's a team that makes some type of Forte commentary. Can they yet? Is he officially...
They're not allowed to. They're not allowed to.
Maybe that will affect it.
A lot of people,
unfortunately,
get into trouble at these things. But it's happened.
You can dig though, Dan.
There's been some legal tampering. I mean, this is if you're a big fan of NFL media insiders, this is a good week to keep.
Who isn't?
This is a big week. Good week to keep score, because there's usually some bombs being dropped about what's going to happen. Sue's going to sign with the Dolphins or Jim Harbaugh. This is when the Jim Harbaugh almost got traded to the Browns story comes out. You know, sometimes there's agents that get kicked out of the combine. There's always some crazy combine stuff. When you get the entire NFL together drinking basically in the same city.
See, I think Larry Fitz's deal got done too during the combine last year.
See, draft nicks think this is all about the college prospects, but the combine is there for all this backroom dealing and all the agents and all the clients and all the teams to get together. That's why the combine
exists.
And the NFL
quietly this year excised a week from the off-season calendar. That week had really only been there about the last 3 or 4 years. So it's going back to what it was. So there's 1 week less between the combine and free agency. Free agency is right around the corner. The deals are going to start. That means the deals are going to start happening a little more.
Dan, I feel like that's room for a tagline, a possible tagline. Back to where it was. Something for the NFL.
I like to somehow work excised into
Yeah.
Look at the big brain on that. Greg.
Well, your tagline was already, it's such a home run that it's.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's gotten moved up. It's gotten moved up the ladder a little bit. People are starting to really plug in at the league office. Maybe this hands this guy. Maybe we got to get him here among the suits working on some advertising.
Did you hear it, Colleen, by any chance?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Do you remember it?
No. I was trying to remember.
She just picked up on the buzz in the air.
I'm trying to remember it myself.
That is...
It's a little bit of an indictment.
I think I remember it. But
oh, yeah. Well, you want to get it exactly
right.
It's
not the same unless it's coming from
somebody me. Had sent, like, a beautiful graphic in my mentions. I don't know. I think it was something along the lines of... wait, I'm going to find it. Colleen, you might have to tighten this up officially.
Right. So it was beautifully executed, I remember, when you did say it.
Did you just call Sydney Colleen?
Oh, did I do that again? Yeah. Sydney, we might have to.
So I just started talking. That's why.
They're all the same.
Wow. That's why I have the pink sweatshirt on.
Here we
today.
Go.
It's the blonde hair and the 5 foot.
Found
one.
It.
It gets you.
Exactly.
Okay. And yeah, we can tighten that up. All right. Or not. It's your call. It's your show, Sydney. All right. The NFL. Call the fight. It's the best sport, obviously.
Oh, my God. How could I forget that?
Yeah, although I was partial, it was the language was bad, but the NFL, I'm like a pigskin. I thought that was good.
That's not bad.
All right, Sydney, I'm sorry again. She marks it down.
I've got like three already.
It's really the obviously that puts you apart. That was the line that got the league's office's attention. That it's, you know how Kanye always throws in that extra little line at the end. You know what I mean? That extra little twist that you're like, oh, he did it again.
He did it again.
He did it again.
That Kanye.
Something you're not expecting. That's what sets him apart. That's you and obviously.
Wes is going to be so angry when I get like a $1 million bonus check from Rog. And Wes is just, you know.
Save it for the Kanye podcast. Oh, wait, this is the Kanye podcast.
Shots fired.
All right. Hey, Colleen. I did it again. Hey, Lindsay.
Wow.
What is happening to my brain?
You have to leave all
that
in.
I'm leaving.
Sydney.
Yes.
This is a mess.
Yes, Mark. What's going on?
Very well done. Can we get Connor Orr on the phone?
We sure can.
Because it is announcement time.
Yeah. Connor's been patiently waiting.
Oh, good.
You there, Connor?
Hey, what's going on?
There he is. Connor Orr, welcome back to the Around the NFL podcast.
What's going on, men and women?
Hi. This is going well.
Speaking of catchphrases. by the way, Sydney, do you have the, what is it, timpani? Timpani?
Timpani.
Okay. So just have that ready. I'll let you know when to signal it. But a couple things with Connor. And first thing we want to get to, Connor, is last year we hung out as a group, of course, at Indianapolis for the Combine. And it was a great time. And you really revealed yourself to be like an indie insider, which I was really impressed by. Can you just take us through? You're very excited about St. Elmo, the steakhouse. But tell us a little bit about this underground cigar hut that has really become what you're famous for when it comes to Indianapolis.
Well, I've always said that Indianapolis is a lot like the game Pokemon, where if you don't know about the secret tunnels and kind of the underworld, then it's worthless. And luckily, I was blessed to have gotten all this knowledge. And so, yeah, the deep cigar hut, Nikki Blaine's on Meridian, I believe, is like just the first place I got to go. It screams Indianapolis to me, and it is like the underbelly of the combine. Fantastic place for a drink and a cigar.
And maybe some backdoor dealings get done there. There's a lot of people at these places. Colleen, would you have any interest? I know, Wes, you have asthma. You're not going to smoke cigars. But, Colleen, do you want to join us in this place?
I do have asthma, and I would smoke a cigar.
Wes. Shout out to the common man.
It's not healthy at all. He's the smarter one of the two of us.
I've smoked cigars in the past, and I've always regretted it.
By
the way, that was the first time he slipped a Pokemon reference past us. Not only that, but he expected us to get it.
Yeah, I didn't. I knew what you were getting at. I didn't quite get the ref. Connor,
that's
is
my ref. Niche audience out there. I kind of have a separate community that only listens for me. So that was kind of
That was a little nod to that crew. And then, of course, we're also going to go. Yes, of course, we're all excited. You've said it before. Your favorite time of year is when you get the email from me about our reservation at St. Elmo. But you also have another secret place that you speak highly of.
Well, there's, just where do you want to go? I mean, if we're talking about pizza, there's Napoli's, which is like just incredible. Fire grilled everything, vegetables. Pizza, cheese, everything's grilled in open flame right in front of you, and it's just like the best experience.
You sound like you're getting more excited about it as you talk about it as well, which is making me excited.
Let me get this straight. This pizza place has pizza and cheese?
Wow! What a place.
We can leave you off the reservation.
It's like, I don't know, if he's going to be making millennial references, I can make Generation Y references. Remember that movie PCU? Where a young Jeremy Piven, the only way to really survive at the school was to be connected to the pit. That's what Connor is. He's the guy. You got to know Connor to know Indianapolis.
And, I thought he was like Red from Shawshank.
You could go there too.
Wow.
Probably a better ref.
I like that Pokemon is seen as a millennial reference.
I don't know. Maybe who knows? What would it be?
I'm big in Japan.
Like an 8-year-old kid reference.
And now
live from Bodacon.
And now it's announcement time. So there you go. That sets the table for Indianapolis with Connor. He's going to be our leader in that fine city. It's announcement time right now. All right. Now we know that Bill Simmons unveiled his new website, The Ringer. But now Connor Orr has a big announcement to make about his off-season plans. Connor, let him know.
It's we're going to watch all 100 of the greatest movies of all time in an effort to culture myself.
That's right. Connor is going to go the AFI Top 100. He's going to watch every movie, and the name of the segment will be
Horrible Movies.
So this is a segment on the podcast.
Well, we're going to have, periodically, Or You Kidding Me will still be in the mix, but occasionally, he will check in on the Top 100. He'll watch a movie. I don't know, Connor, if you plan to watch them in order or if you want us to pick one for you to start with. And then we will get your review, your horrible review.
Well, if you – I have Citizen Kane actually being delivered to my house next week. I don't know what it's about, but it sounds maybe good. And so then if you guys want to pick the second one, that would be great.
This list is 10 years old, though.
No, here's the updated list. You've got to be plugged in on the updated list. There's a link at the top, I think. That's it.
I've seen maybe like 5 of these movies.
I think this is a great endeavor for Connor. And maybe
especially after,
should do it, too.
After the Pokemon.
Maybe I will.
Although, I wanted to add a movie theme. So this is Titanic. I don't know if that's on your list. Have you watched that one yet?
I've seen one part of Titanic, and I think like anyone growing up that's my age knows exactly what part I'm talking about.
Oh, God. I know what you're saying, which is even grosser. But I will say that that will be on the list at some point. Greg, do you want to pick one out that he has to watch?
Yeah, I think number 98, Yankee Doodle Dandy from 1942. Really looks – I want to hear your thoughts on that.
How about you, Wes?
Well, my favorite movie of all time is Casablanca, so I would suggest watching that.
All right.
Number three on the list.
Pulp Fiction. You got to watch
that. Oh, yeah. Wait, Connor hasn't now. You have not watched Pulp Fiction, Connor.
I've seen Pulp Fiction. It is not in my top five of all time, but it is certainly a movie that I've watched and enjoyed.
I will task you with watching the 1953 classic, ranked number 45 on this list, Shane.
Mm.
I don't know what it is, but I want to make sure you
so
watch
Western.
It. Is it?
And have you never read Shane?
No, I have no knowledge of Shane.
What's Tootsie?
Really?
Oh, really?
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
all right, I'm going to have to watch
Dustin
that.
Dustin Hoffman dresses up like a woman.
Yeah.
Really?
That's all I know about it.
All right, I'll check it out.
All right, so I think, I mean, this is...
There's
this
literally is no movies since 2000 except for Fellowship of the Ring from 2001. What kind of list is that?
Who wants to watch Monsters
they have,
and
they
Goblins?
They haven't updated
Do we want to put them on... Should we shift them over to the IMDb?
No, I mean, this is a good start. It's history. It's culture. Yeah. You don't need the last 15.
Why don't we come up with a list and give it to Connor of our top 100?
Whoa.
Well, I think he wants to connect with the culture. Well, it depends what you want to get out of it, Connor.
Well, you know, after re-listening to a lot of my Are You Kidding Me segments, I kind of realized how slovenly and detached I was from sort of the elegant portion of society. And so that's really what I'm aiming for here.
That's what you got out of that. All right, Connor. Well, this is a great – I mean, it's an ambitious plan, and it's one that we will obviously be tracking. Maybe start with one of those films that we just brought up, perhaps all of them. And we'll have you back on for the first edition of Horrible Movies.
It'll be so good you can smell the popcorn on me.
That's a great way to close out. There he is, Connor Orr. Were you kidding me? What a ambitious plan, Greg. You seem almost stunned by it.
I'm stunned would be the word.
I haven't seen a lot of these movies either.
I like the IMDb one.
Yeah, it's a little more fun.
Yeah, I might do the IMDb one.
I mean, the IMDb one gets a little messy because, you know, for instance, Dark Knight was a great movie, but it's like ranked as the number four movie in the history of cinema.
Oh, stop.
No way.
So it gets a little wacky. It's a little populist, that list. But so there you go. Connor is going to start watching movies, horrible movies, give us our reviews. He will be our guide. And that's it for the show. Greg, are you at all nervous? You know, you're almost like a sheep herder in a way when it comes to the around the NFL team. And now you got all six of us in the same place. You're responsible ultimately as our boss.
Yes, I enjoyed that aspect of being in LA last year for it. Like I didn't want to know what was going on late at night in Indianapolis. And now now I'm going to be stuck knowing.
What possibly could you think that we were doing late at night in Indianapolis of all places? I think they put it in Indianapolis so all these kids can't get in trouble because there's nothing to do.
Hey, people find trouble. I've seen some people in trouble in Indianapolis.
Really?
I've seen someone getting arrested.
Is this the
wasn't me.
People in Trouble in Indianapolis podcast?
No one.
I would listen to that.
No one here.
In Trouble in Indy podcast?
Catchy.
Yeah. Hosted by Greg Rosenthal. All right, that's it.
Let's yet another Rosenthal joint.
We'll be back on Thursday. That's our next show from Lucas Oil Stadium. We will bring you all the hot takes that we have from those press conferences that we've been talking about and, of course, anything that comes out of the combine itself. Who knows, Greg? Maybe somebody breaks the Chris Johnson 40-yard dash record. Hubba hubba. That's all I got when it comes to combine. But, yes, it will be a lot of fun to do a show again remotely, this time from Indianapolis. So make sure you check it out. That's it. This is Dan Hansis signing off for Connie Fox.
You got my name right. Good.
I know. The mailman, the boss, and La Seed behind the glass. Till Thursday.